Today's episode of Dog Nation Daily is brought to you by Pella Window and Door of Georgia, viewed to be the best.
Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
We are just a couple of days away from the start of the early signing period. That means a lot of recruiting talk on our program today, tomorrow, Wednesday, really the entirety of the week. But here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Pella Window and Door of Georgia, if you don't mind, for a couple of minutes, I thought it might be fun to do something other than recruiting for a moment. And believe it or not, the thing that I'm about to say, I don't think every Georgia fan is going to necessarily love, even though in a roundabout way it is good news for UGA. But I do think it's an appropriate place for us to begin today. Joe Burrow won the Heisman Trophy on Saturday night. We may have more on that later on in the show. You're already aware of that. It was a foregone conclusion. But one of my favorite things about college football, and I just will always love this, right after the season ends, hey, we just crowned a national champion. Who are the favorites for next year's national champion? Hey, the season just ended. What are the predictions for next year's SEC? We don't wait 5 seconds to start way too early top 25s, way too early projections for national championships, this and that. We just are always kind of spinning things forward in the world of college football. So it's the same way when it comes to a Heisman Trophy. We crowned one on Saturday, and you can already find various pockets online where discussion begins of who the 2020 Heisman favorites are going to be. Sportsline, which is owned by CBS, put out some numbers on this, and believe it or not, a Georgia name kind of factors in this discussion. Can we see this on the screen for those watching on video? Here's Sportsline on Twitter. Nice, pretty graphic. You see the Justin Fields, the Trevor Lawrence, a lot of the names you might expect. But you also see coming in here, at least according to Sportsline, at 20-1 to win next year's Heisman Trophy, Georgia running back Zamir White. Now, as I said a moment ago, not every Georgia fan is going to love the idea of that, because I think there's a certain sense in which Georgia fans are sort of grown weary of hype. And 20-1, a 5% chance to win the Heisman Trophy, is a ludicrous degree of hype for a guy, as it stands right now, that we're not even sure is going to be Georgia's leading rusher next season. There'd be some debate about that, given Milton coming in, the potential emergence of Kenny McIntosh, the presence of James Cook. I mean, it's not even a foregone conclusion who Georgia's leading rusher will be. Certainly the idea that Zamir White would rank among the Heisman favorites for next season would seem to be a bit ambitious. Maybe that's the best overall way to say that. And some Georgia fans are probably saying in response to this, how about we just sort of let it play out before we use any Georgia player's name when it comes to a Heisman Trophy odds for 2020? And I do totally get that. However, there are a couple of other things I think you have to take away from this. Georgia is a program that sort of reached a level that the hype is not going to go away. Even in the midst of what seems like sort of a bad run, the loss to LSU, the departure of Sam Pittman, the questions about the Georgia offense, I mean, Georgia's one of these programs that's not going to, sort of disappear into the ether because of kind of a disappointing end to the 2019 season. Georgia may not be in the top three of the way too early preseason top 25s. I have a hard time believing they fall much below, like, say, 6 or 7 or something like that. I mean, this is still a very highly thought of team going into the 2020 season, regardless of the attrition that might still come when it comes to draft departures and things like that. And while I wouldn't necessarily have Zamir White on my list of possible Heisman winners for next season yet, the idea that some Georgia player sits there as kind of a placeholder because of the fact that the media still expects Georgia to be a big part of the 2020 conversation, that all in all, I'm not all that surprised about. And the other thing that I think that you kind of build off from this, with Zamir White being where he is, according to Sportsline, among the relatively short list of potential favorites for next year's Heisman Trophy. You know, depending on what DeAndre Swift does for the Sugar Bowl, you know, he is dealing with an injury. He was hobbled during the SEC Championship, no matter what Kirby Smart may have said about that postgame. You know, he may decide not to play, not because he's saving himself for the draft. He may just be too hurt to play. That may be what goes on there. And so, you know, obviously it's Brian Herring's final game, but when you think about, you know, guys like James Cook and guys like Zamir White, maybe a little bit more of Kenny McIntosh, that chance to kind of showcase what they're all about, that's one of the things that could potentially make the Sugar Bowl actually really, really fun. So, you know, the notion that Zamir White's a Heisman contender, he needs to show right now that he's clearly better than Cook or McIntosh, those other guys. and this group all together collectively need to show they're capable of keeping Georgia at that level of elite running programs, subtracting DeAndre Swift and Brian Herrien off that list for next season. Our assumption, obviously, is that Swift's going to go on to the NFL. Now, for what it's worth, given the status of Swift going into the SEC championship, the uncertainty due to his injury, Smart did speak a couple of weeks ago about the, you know, what a White, Cook, McIntosh running game might look like, whether it would have been in last Saturday's SEC championship or in the 2020 season. Here is what Smart has said about that recently.
Very confident. I mean, Zamir's had some good games and gotten to play more and more. I mean, we're trying to find ways to use him. James the same way, and Kenny got to go in the game and did some good things the other day. So I feel very comfortable about the other guys. Obviously, Swift has a different skill set probably as a total package than all of them, and we want him to be in there. But, you know, we've got some depth at that position that we can use guys.
So listen, bottom line for me on this particular discussion, I obviously think it's way too early to talk about the notion that Zamir White might be a Heisman contender for 2020. That seems a little bit much for me. But I am curious to see what he does bring to the table alongside a Cook, who I know dealt with a thing over the weekend, but that's not going to, I don't think, be a factor for him in 2020. Kenny McIntosh as well, and the emergence of Kendall Milton. I am curious to see this running game, both in the Sugar Bowl in the spring and heading towards that 2020 season, to see what this new look group looks like, possibly with Zamir White there in the lead for all of that. Let me shift gears now and talk about something completely different. It is obviously a big build-up for Georgia in its 2020 recruiting class, and a lot of that's going to be around the offensive line, just given the nature of Sam Pittman's departure, Matt Luke coming in. We'll be paying very close attention to Georgia offensive line storylines, both throughout the end of this week, heading into February, presumably as well, especially if you've got like Broderick Jones, you know, kind of is the holdout until then. This could be all a very, very big story. Well, Georgia got a couple nice pieces of news on that front over the weekend. Let me deal with both of these right now. First of all, Tate Ratledge on Twitter, reaffirming his Georgia pledge. This is after Matt Luke and Kirby Smart had spent a bunch of time with him there at Darlington School and presumably at his house there as well, really selling him on Georgia still being the place for him after Sam Pittman's departure. I love the tweet from Ratledge, who says, "My recruitment is officially shut down. I will be signing Wednesday." And he gives you a hashtag #GoDawgs. That's Tate Ratledge on Twitter. I think this is huge for Georgia. And I know in a weird way, it kind of seems like celebrating a win you already thought you had. But Ratledge had choices and Ratledge had options. And Ratledge is a really, really good prospect. Now, you can debate for yourself in terms of future tackles in the SEC level. Do you like him better? Do you like Broderick Jones better? That's a debate you can have on your own. Obviously, Georgia hopes to get both of them. But the guy who made his reaffirmation to Georgia on Saturday was Tate Ratledge. I think this was a validation of Matt Luke's hire. I think this was a vindication for Georgia and those who assume that the program's going to falter, that's going to slip on the heels of losing Pittman and losing the SEC championship game. I think Ratledge here is a kind of a vote of confidence for what Georgia's going to look like there in 2020. I think this is a big-time prospect. I think it's a big-time win for Georgia. I know that Jeff Sintel is going to be writing a lot about this, already has, forum.dognation.com and on dognation.com. I said Wednesday on Before the Hedge is presented by Kroger that I thought that Ratledge was potentially the kind of recruit that might have a bit of a gravitational pull by winning with him. It maybe gives you a chance to win with one of these other guys who's still on the list as current Georgia commitments and certainly potential UGA signees. I don't think you can overstate, just given where Ratledge could have gone, how contested this recruitment was to begin with, how invested Ratledge was in Sam Pittman and vice versa, the fact that Georgia has re-won this commit and sent Ratledge on a path towards signing with the Dogs on Wednesday, I think this is really nice news for the program. But wait, that's not all when it comes to offensive line stuff. Later on in today's show, we're going to talk to John Stinchcomb, the former UGA grade, about this offensive lineman, about what it means that Georgia got the pledge from Devin Willett, former Penn State commit, very big offensive lineman. He put it out there on social media that he is going to be going to UGA, welcomed in here as an offensive line commit. The presumption is that Joshua Braun's departure opens the door for Willett, and Georgia acts quickly to get that done. I think if you're a Georgia fan kind of wondering what the early days of the Matt Luke era as offensive line coach were going to be like, I think you feel pretty good about this. Now, Willett's a player, admittedly, I'm going to have to obviously do some pretty quick catch-up work to get to know. That's not a name we've really talked about on our program very much, but he certainly fits the mold of a lot of what Georgia's been going after when it comes to these big offensive line guys. A young man out of New Jersey, the former Penn State commitment. But more than anything, it's the flurry of activity that you like. I think it's a really good start to what's going to be a very busy week for Georgia. And we'll get into some more of these recruiting storylines here coming up in a moment. But the overall sense of things being, does Georgia still have recruiting momentum? I think the work of this weekend, the foundation that was laid, I think the suggestion is yes. Georgia still does have a great bit of momentum for its 2020 class. The kind of thing that makes this class, if not the number one class in the country, certainly the envy of more than 100-something teams around the rest of college football. Georgia sends a big message over the weekend that it's going to be a force to be reckoned with as early signing period opens on Wednesday, closes on Friday, and continues through February. Georgia is right in the thick of the action, which is exactly where Dog fans want them to be. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented today by Pella Window and Door. Good to have you with us, no matter how you get to us today. Live on video, 10 a.m., Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, or the radio at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref. And we're available as a podcast wherever you find them, Apple, Google, the worldfamousdognation.com. Just really glad to have you with us. And as I said before, really appreciative of Pella Window and Door for making it all possible. You know, Pella Window and Door of Georgia is a nationally known company, but they have a local branch right here in Georgia, which means you get that local service that a family-owned company is going to be famous for. That's what Pella Window and Door can provide you. They've also got a great offer right now. You can get 40% off qualifying installations or 0% APR for 48 months. And that offer's only valid through January 9th, so you need to take advantage right now. A couple ways to get in touch. It's PellaSoutheast.us on the web. That's PellaSoutheast.us. Or you can give them a call in their Dunwoody showroom at 404-445-2979. That's 404-445-2979. Pella Window and Door of Georgia is viewed to be the best. And listen, we talk about those energy-efficient windows and doors. It's a great way to potentially save you a lot of money on your heating bill this winter, your electric bill all year long. Just really, really good stuff from Pella Window and Door of Georgia. We'll get John Stinchcomb here coming up in a moment. A lot to talk to John about. Before that, let's go around the doghouse, and let me see if I can do two more recruiting storylines here just for a moment, stuff that I found to be interesting over the weekend. I hope you're following along at the forum. It's totally free. Forum.dognation.com, a great free message board, tremendous resource for UGA fans. One of my favorite things inside there is Jeff Sintel, our Dog Nation recruiting insider, his hurry-up intel. You know, the Sintel intel, you've read that for a long time at dognation.com. Well, the hurry-up intel at the forum at forum.dognation.com is a great way to kind of get some bite-sized nuggets of the various recruiting things happening on a weekend like this. That's invaluable. One of the things that was in the hurry-up intel over the weekend was the fact that Georgia was able to host Jordan Burch, the five-star defensive lineman, again on his official visit in Athens here this time. In fact, I think we even have a photo from Burch there in Athens to get to. Little blurry there. That's from his Instagram, but you can see them in the hotel bed, all kinds of stuff kind of spread out on the bed for him there, welcoming him into Athens. And Burch has obviously been a really difficult recruit to predict throughout the entirety of this process. And I won't pretend to have any more insight on this than anybody else will. But the one thing I think you'd come away with if you're a UGA fan, you could absolutely not do a better job on this recruitment than Georgia has seemingly done when it comes to Burch. And I'm not as good at rattling off all the visits that Burch has taken to UGA as some others are. Jeff Sintel, obviously the best of all on that. When you look at the total number of times, both kind of planned visits, surprise visits, just sort of showing up on short notice, when you look at the number of times that Georgia has hosted Burch, and Jeff has done a great job chronicling all of this, I just feel like that Georgia has put itself in about the best possible position it could be to win a recruitment like this. And as I said before, while I won't pretend to have any sort of specific insight into Burch's situation, one thing I've always kind of felt like, as quiet as he's been, doesn't do interviews, doesn't really tip his hand much, we're kind of left to know between his finals. By the way, he's announcing on Thursday. That's the date for him on Thursday. You know, between all of that, I've always felt like that his recruitment potentially makes sense if ultimately South Carolina is the place that he doesn't end up. Being from Columbia, you know, sometimes you might keep that quiet to keep from kind of spiking the football on your own hometown. You don't necessarily want to make in addition to one of the coaches pursuing you, Will Muschamp, that's actually the dad of one of Birch's friends. They play on the same high school football team together. Birch does with Will Muschamp's son. That all of a sudden, the quietness of Birch potentially makes a lot more sense if South Carolina is not the place he ends up. If he was going to Columbia or staying in Columbia to play for South Carolina, he'd be rattling pots and pans. There'd be marching bands. There'd be parades. There'd be everything else. But the quiet nature of all of this almost to me has always seemed like, well, maybe that means that he's going to eventually get out of Columbia, go somewhere else, and maybe he's just not looking to cause a whole lot of commotion about that. And if that's the case, if he does leave the city of Columbia, if he leaves the state of South Carolina, doesn't go to Clemson, then it certainly seems like on the basis of these visits, including the Georgia visit over the weekend, that Georgia would likely be in as good a spot as anybody. That's a really fun thing to think about. There'll be a lot more about that at the forum at forum.dognation.com. I was going to talk about Jermaine Burton here. Let me do some Burton stuff later on the program. I'm a little short on time right now. I do want to tell you about this, though. As we head towards the end of December, don't forget there's still some time for you to take advantage of a really great offer with our friends at Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa. They're celebrating their 25th anniversary, and they're doing so by offering you 25% off your room select dates here the month of December. This is a beautiful time to be at Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa because the resort's decorated for Christmas. The mountains look beautiful this time of the year. There's crackling fires in the fireplace. I mean, there's just no better place to be, no better place I'd rather be than at Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa for a wonderful, wonderful getaway this time of year. And you can take advantage, saving up to 25% off, but you got to use the promo code BVR25. That's BVR25. At the website BrasstownValley.com. Big savings at Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa. In honor of their 25th anniversary, use BVR25 when you go to BrasstownValley.com. So I'll do more on Jermaine Burton here coming up in just a moment on our program today. It's good to have you with us on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Pella Window and Door. And as of now, let's let you find out about more about the Tate Ratledge situation, Georgia's latest commit, the changeover to the Matt Luke era at the offensive line coach. Let's talk to John Stinchcomb.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
A lot of big news involving Georgia offensive line recruiting over the weekend. So from that standpoint here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Pella Window and Door, it seems really appropriate to talk to a great former offensive lineman, a guy who still cares very much about the big guys up front, protecting quarterbacks and opening holds for running backs. It's our buddy John Stinchcomb, who's actually kind of doing something kind of fun this weekend. Maybe we'll try to find out more about that before we're done here. First of all, though, John, Merry Christmas to you. Thanks for being with us here on Dog Nation Daily. We appreciate your time again once again today and hope you're doing well.
Yeah, it couldn't be any better. Always great to talk to you and Dog Nation about some Georgia Bulldogs football. So appreciate you having me on again.
So in crazy times like this, when the news cycle spins as fast as it does, I have a tendency to forget what we've talked about, what we haven't. If I'm remembering correctly, we haven't heard you on Matt Luke yet, right? I mean, it seems like 1,000 years ago that Sam Pittman took the Arkansas job, but that's actually happened since you and I spoke here on our program last. So I guess before we get into the specifics of everything that's gone on, can I get just a general thought from you on, obviously, I know you had great affection for Sam Pittman. Everybody did. It's hard to turn down an SEC coaching head position. No one's going to really do that. Georgia acts quickly to respond by hiring Matt Luke. Would you mind just giving me a little bit of a thumbnail sketch of how you experienced all of that news within the last week?
Well, I think there's a couple things that stand out to me about the hire. The first is the endorsement that he got from some of the Georgia players that knew him as recruits. And you look at David Andrews and the seconding by Brandon Cablano about the Matt Luke hire. The second is that anytime you get the opportunity to have an addition to your staff that has head coach experience, what a boost for that entire offense. The third piece is that he's renowned as another offensive line coach in the SEC that has great rapport with players. He's a terrific recruiter. There are differences, and I'm sure we'll see them as this plays out between Matt Luke and Sam Pittman. But what a quick, smart hire from Kirby Smart and that staff to find someone with experience that checks so many of those boxes. And you can see already he's hitting the ground running, which a program of Georgia's caliber. You don't have time especially this time of year, to have any lag between one coach to the next. This recruiting period is pivotal, and I think you saw some very promising signs as to his immediate impact in the last 6.5 days from when we last spoke.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, John, you and I haven't spent enough time together. I'm a Georgia partisan. I obviously want the best for Georgia. That means the most good recruits that Georgia can possibly get. However, the one thing I do somewhat pride myself on is the fact that my fandom for Georgia, I don't think, clouds me from at least, some, version of objectivity. I sort of have some empathy for a lot of the recruits who go through this. Now, admittedly, I hope the offensive line guys that were pledged to Georgia remain that way and they come to UGA because they like the school. But I have to admit that if it was my son going through a process like this and he found out that he wasn't going to get a chance to play for the coach at Georgia that he thought he was going to, my guess is that's a pretty harrowing time for a lot of families. And you're obviously a former player and you kind of understand that part of it too. So I guess, would you mind putting a human face in this for a moment for a guy like Tate Ratledge, who decides that Georgia's the place he wants to be, for a guy like Joshua Braun, who decides, hey, without Sam Pittman, maybe I'd rather go somewhere else? What's it like to be a player there in that situation, and how pivotal is the role that an offensive line coach plays for you in terms of, your comfort at the school you ultimately choose?
Well, it's really important. And I think the changing demographic of, or landscape, probably a better word, changing landscape of the transfer portal finally provides almost equal footing to what players have witnessed from coaches, because every coach that comes into your home will say, you want to choose the school, you want to choose the opportunity and the university and the program, and not just go to a school based on your position coach. Well, that sounds good, but relationships matter, and when you have a coach like Sam Pittman, guys want to play for him. They want to be trained and taught to play the game by the best. I distinctly remember, and this is my first real insight into what it looks like from a recruit's perspective, is when my brother was getting recruited, and Jerry DiNardo was the head coach. I believe it was at Vanderbilt. And he's, sitting on our couch in our family room, and the question was asked, how long are you going to be at Vanderbilt? And he's like, I love Vanderbilt. I'll be there, as long as they'll let me. And a week later, he takes another job. they have to promote their school. They have to promote these opportunities. But I respect everyone's opportunity as a player or as a student athlete to consider which space is going to be best for their future. And no hard feelings for Josh Braun, and recognizing that there might be a better situation now that Coach Pittman has left. And on the other side of that coin, for a guy like Tate Ratledge, how great is that for the University of Georgia that he still recognizes playing for the Bulldogs as a prime opportunity for him to proceed with reaching all the goals that he set on a personal level. So, you can't be mad at a guy for sitting back when cards on the table change and you get different information for making a decision based on that.
Yeah, I'll give you a crackpot theory about Tate Ratledge here for a moment. You're an investor. You kind of understand the notion of a key indicator. There are certain things in life that can kind of be a bellwether for good news, and I sort of think of Tate Ratledge that way, and obviously I'm reading in a lot to a guy that I don't know at all. I've never met Tate Ratledge personally, but the video that I see of him, the times that I've noticed him in Athens, seems like he kind of has some people around him. He kind of smells like a leader a little bit, and obviously this is a guy that was a pretty contested recruitment. Darlington up there in Rome, you're kind of tucked underneath Knoxville a bit. I know the family had some affection for Tennessee. There were also some rumors of some other programs kind of swooping in like vultures late once they found out that, the Sam Pittman thing might cause him to question his relationship with UGA. The fact that Ratledge reaffirmed that pledge over the weekend, I know this is kind of celebrating a recruiting win that Dogs fans sort of already thought they had, but given the turnover with the coaching staff, changing offensive line coaches, given the potential for turmoil that comes from something like that, when Ratledge comes out on Twitter saying that his recruitment's officially shut down, and it gives you like the most Georgia photo of all of him shaking Herschel Walker's hands. It's not easy to hulk over a Walker. Ratledge does in that picture. John, I got to tell you, that was worth high-fiving somebody this weekend if you're a Georgia fan to see that Lou came in. Ratledge and his family, who are going to be, you know, certainly doing their due diligence, making sure they make the right choice, said, hey, we still like Georgia after all of this. I don't know. That speaks pretty well to me for the work that Luke was able to sort of slide in and do pretty quickly.
Oh, it's huge. And it's not only huge on an individual basis for Tate. That speaks volumes for the rest of the class. I think credit goes to Coach Smart for making a quick, smart decision, recognizing an opportunity in hiring Matt Luke and getting a veteran coach in the SEC that has rapport with a number of these players. But as you well know, you can never stop recruiting a guy until he puts his name on that line. There's so much that goes into those decisions, and there's always flexibility, it seems, until and sometimes after even. I mean, yeah. We've seen that pop up a time or two, where a recruit decides and they second-guess that decision and might think that there's better opportunities for them elsewhere. So for Georgia's program, for Coach Luke, that announcement by Tate Ratledge, I think, is a real flag jammed into the ground that this class is going to be strong, and the commitment and opportunities that Georgia presents to so many of these recruits is it's a prime one. I mean, Georgia is one of those programs that nationally players want to be a part of, and keeping a guy like Tate is huge for this class and this program.
Yeah, I think that's said beautifully, John. I really do. Let me kind of finish up on this topic, if you don't mind. We love to kind of lean on your expertise when we get a chance to. Georgia added an offensive line commit over the weekend. It's Devin Willock. My understanding is that while this is a name that we've only now started talking about here on Dog Nation Daily, the truth is Georgia's had a relationship with Willock now for quite some time, kind of, you know, going back into the Sam Pittman era. This was a guy that Pittman once had some interest in. Georgia does take him as a commit now, though, that Pittman's on his way to Arkansas, presumably opened up because of Joshua Braun's decision to leave the Georgia class. This is a big guy, former Penn State commit, my understanding an interior offensive lineman here, but I know you've had a chance to see him, John, at least watch the film on him. What do you think of Devin Willock? What's Georgia getting right here?
Well, I think they're getting a big body that at times flashes some serious physicality. I'm sure they say that you watch him play, it wouldn't hurt him to lose some of that high school weight. You know, there's so many guys that when they look at college players, they think, ooh, well, you know, everyone's 300-plus. I need to be 300-plus. But let me guarantee you, 340 in high school is much different than a Isaiah Wilson 340 in college. So it'll most likely need to shed some weight, and it has a little bit of development in front of them. But when you see a guy of that size, you recognize that there's so much potential, and you know there's a reason why other programs like Penn State have pursued his enrollment, and he's one of those bodies that you see a lot of potential. So another great opportunity for Matt Luke to put his own stamp on this class.
Yeah, I think that's really cool. John, you're doing a fun thing this weekend, have been doing a fun thing this weekend. How much of this can you tell our audience about, a chance to really celebrate a great moment? And now a lot of the people who are listening right now who may be Falcons fans maybe don't view this as great a moment as the folks there in the boot do, but a chance to reminisce about a great experience as a New Orleans Saint before, right?
I just popped into a limo with a couple of the Super Bowl teammates, Jaree Evans, Garrett Hartley, former Alabama Elephant, Roman Harper, and we're down here in New Orleans celebrating our 10-year reunion for Super Bowl 44 victory. So it's fun occasions, and it's been really good to catch up with teammates and reminisce about some very pleasant memories.
Well, John, it's really cool that you'd spend time with us while you're in the midst of this really special weekend for you. Congratulations on being remembered as a Super Bowl champion here. Hope your time there in New Orleans continues to go well. We appreciate you being here today on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Pella Window and Door. We'll look forward to getting a chance to speak to you soon.
Yeah, well, it's a great occasion, and grateful for this opportunity, and it's good to represent the Dogs in all sorts of different places.
No doubt. John, we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, BA. Y'all have a great week.
Good stuff there from John Stinchcomb, who you may realize, former New Orleans Saint, a part of a Super Bowl championship team. And a lot of Falcons fans don't like the idea of the Saints hoisting that Lombardi trophy, but John was a big part of that. So we are certainly proud of him to be able to have a chance to kind of look back, reminisce on that. What an amazing accomplishment to win a Super Bowl. And two really interesting things that John brings up there. First of all, I love the analysis on Willock. And I think John's right about that. That, you know, obviously, under Sam Pittman, Georgia was always attracted to those really big offensive linemen. That was just kind of always part of the story there for Sam Pittman. Presumably under Matt Luke, it's going to be a similar style of thing that Georgia goes after. Obviously, Kirby Smart, who's kind of the architect of all of that, he likes the idea of dominating the line of scrimmage. But there is a difference between big in high school and big in college. I think a lot of this comes down to the forced nutrition. I don't mean that in sort of an authoritarian way, but you know, the fact that because of the, you know, the dining hall type stuff and the dietitians that these programs have working for them now, you can really instill a good bit of nutrition into the average college player, and all of a sudden that weight, even in excess of 300 pounds, can really be a good weight. High school, it's hard to do. There's a lot of honey buns and Kit Kats and everything else in the average high school guy's diet, and that's true for football player or anything else. So I'm sure that'll be a big part of the transformation that Willock goes through at Georgia. The other thing that John says there that you can't help but notice, that the reaffirmation of Tate Ratledge's pledge to UGA was a flag planted for the 2020 class. Easy to think about Baker Mayfield kind of waving that thing in a circle, sticking that thing right in the turf there at Ohio State after that win for the Sooners a couple of years ago. Symbolically, maybe the same kind of thing for Georgia. Those who thought that Georgia was going to kind of wilt away from a recruiting standpoint because Sam Pittman wasn't here anymore, because Georgia had lost the SEC championship game. I think the reaffirmation of Tate Ratledge is an example of that not necessarily being true. And some of the big-time, high-profile names that Georgia hosted as visitors this weekend, also an example of that not necessarily being true. That there are some wins coming to be celebrated by Georgia fans as a part of the 2020 class, and we are really looking forward to speaking to you about all of it over the course of the next couple of days right here on Dog Nation Daily.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
I really enjoy John Stinchcomb on our program today. I just love that insight he's able to give on these offensive linemen. We say this a lot. We like position-specific scouting. You know, we bring on as many experts as we can, former quarterbacks, former wide receivers, former offensive linemen, let those guys talk about the position that they know. I just think that's a really important thing to be able to do, and I really appreciate John Stinchcomb doing that with us today when it comes to Devin Willock, his thoughts on Tate Ratledge and more. That's just good stuff from John Stinchcomb. It's always a great thing to be able to get. Let's go cruise around the SEC right now, courtesy of Royal Caribbean. And we just love Royal Caribbean because of the fact that at this time of year, a lot of folks are thinking they need a vacation. And it's a great way to escape and get that vacation with our friends at Royal Caribbean. And one of the cool things is it's very, very easy to get access to one of the most amazing experiences you can ever have. I'm talking about Perfect Day CocoCay, private oasis in the Bahamas, exclusive for Royal Caribbean. And a lot of the ships that sail there are the ones that sail out of Port Canaveral, which is right near Orlando. So if you've never been on a cruise vacation before, first of all, what are you waiting on? And second of all, make sure you make the best possible choice, which is to be on a Royal Caribbean ship and one of the ones that potentially sails, especially if you're like me, you live in the Atlanta area here, the easiest to get to is probably Port Canaveral. Perfect Day CocoCay is an amazing experience. The island kind of split in half. You have kind of a thrill side and a chill side. The thrill side is the fun stuff like my kids would love, you know, water slides and thrill adventure type things. The chill side's a little bit more my speed. Tropical drink on one of those private cabanas in the water, kind of floating, kind of quiet, kind of peaceful. It's something for everybody. Check it out, RoyalCaribbean.com, RoyalCaribbean.com, to see more about it, but also get in touch with a travel advisor and book your travel today. All right, cruise around the SEC, courtesy of Royal Caribbean. So Joe Burrow wins the Heisman. Everyone knew this was going to happen. I do think it's interesting, though, that I kind of operate on the, I guess, the assumption for the most part that the Heisman doesn't mean what it used to mean, that the TV show itself doesn't really mean what it used to mean. You know, I grew up watching this thing on television. It seems like when I was a kid, I guess there was just sort of less media overall. A lot of times when I tune into watching, it used to be on like Saturday during the day on CBS. Now it's on ESPN at night. It's like this, you know, 2-hour show. It used to be just kind of a quick thing on CBS. It seems like a lot of times you tune in, maybe not necessarily knowing who was going to win. You're always kind of surprised to see the winner. Maybe that's just what I thought when I was younger. Maybe the adults all knew who was going to win every single year. But my assumption, though, that the Heisman kind of doesn't matter, that the TV show kind of doesn't matter, maybe that assumption's not as correct as I assume that it is, because while I didn't watch the show when it was airing because I knew who was going to win, it is really amazing how much media coverage, the things that Burrow said, the very complimentary things he said about LSU, the very classy things he said about his kind of life kind of growing up, and you know, really shining a light on his story that I don't think necessarily existed before Burrow spoke at the Heisman event. It's amazing how much coverage Burrow's remarks got, even though the winner of the award was essentially a known thing, you know, for such a long time. Just goes to show you that it is a commercial for your program. And Burrow gave a very good pitch for LSU in terms of being the place to be, not just for quarterbacks and skill position guys, but really for the program overall. It is hard to deny LSU is a program right now with some momentum. They may win this year's national championship. I guess that'd be my pick to do so. But there's also a sense of permanence, seemingly, about what Orgeron's putting together there and the assistant coaches that he's put on both sides of the ball. LSU is going to be a real grizzly bear to deal with. And Georgia has kind of always had this picture of trying to topple the Nick Saban era. And once you got past Saban, once you knocked him down a peg or two, Georgia would have the SEC to itself. I think LSU is really complicating that story. It's obviously the end of the Burrow era. We don't know who the starting quarterback in Baton Rouge is going to be next year. We'll have to find that out over the course of the offseason. But the notion that LSU is going anywhere, given the way they're recruiting right now, I don't necessarily think that's the case, not by a long shot. We've talked a little bit about Sam Pittman on today's show. He's now the Arkansas head coach. He acted quickly to hire a defensive coordinator, bringing in former Missouri head coach Barry Odom. Now, I don't really quite know what kind of recruiter Odom's going to be for Arkansas. You know, at Missouri, we never get a chance to find that out. This is not an exaggeration. And I know that they're going to do a lot of work, and they'll end up doing a bunch of transfer stuff after that. As it stands right now, Arkansas is knocking on the door of having the worst recruiting class in SEC history. They have only a small number of commits. You know, they're rated down 100 and something in the country when it comes to recruiting right now. Pittman's going to do a lot of work. They'll take some transfers. They'll eventually find a way to put a little bit of a roster together. But it's actually kind of a pretty messy situation when it comes to Arkansas recruiting at the moment. I'm not quite sure how much Odom helps with that. But in terms of making a big hire on the side of the ball that's not really your specialty, I think you got to give Pittman a lot of credit for bringing in Barry Odom. I mean, take a quick spin around the SEC right now. If you just take recruiting out of it, and because that can be a little bit difficult to predict, if you just take that out of it and you just look at coordinators' ability to draw up a defense, is it probably fair to say that Pittman now has himself a better defensive coordinator than a lot of other programs in the SEC do? I mean, are you taking Odom over the combination of what's at Tennessee in terms of just drawing up a defense? I believe that I might. How about a just head-to-head defensive game plan? Are you taking Barry Odom over Todd Grantham? I think I might, right? I mean, there are some pretty well-regarded defensive coaching situations in the SEC. If we isolate this to just on-field coaching, I think Odom as the DC for Arkansas is actually a pretty good hire for Sam Pittman. Now, it's a major talent issue they're dealing with, but it's actually a pretty big coup for Pittman to be able to make the hire that he made. Kind of shows him settling in as a head coach there in Fayetteville here for the moment. I mentioned some Heisman odds off the top of the program. Let me also mention that again from an SEC standpoint. Can I just see the graphic here? Because if you were surprised to see Zamir White's name pop up on this, I guess you may be surprised to see a couple of these other names kind of pop up on here too. I mentioned before Fields and Lawrence, the two favorites. But how about the fact that Mac Jones shows up here at 7-1, the Alabama quarterback? Bo Nix, the Auburn quarterback, showing up here at 8-1. Jalen Waddle's on here at 12-1. Jamar Chase on here at 15-1. So a good bit of SEC names on here, including the Blitnikoff winner for this year, Waddle, who's obviously a guy that can do it on special teams there as well. I guess the two most surprising names, are Nix and Jones. Jones from the standpoint of, if Alabama wants to be a national championship contender in 2020, it probably needs a different quarterback than Mac Jones. Jones is a quarterback that can beat most of the teams on the Alabama schedule. Not quite so sure that's a national championship winning or even SEC championship winning quarterback, just given what SEC champion quarterbacks have looked like the last couple of years in terms of their overall statistical profile. Then when it comes to the Bo Nix thing, Nix, for the most part, played against Georgia in November kind of the way that I expected him to. Not a great player, but a guy that's gotten better over the course of the year. But the one thing that Gus Malzahn has tried to sell us on and push us on is the notion that Nix is somehow special, that he's going to win a championship before his time is done there at Auburn. And, you know, if that's the case, then he's certainly going to be following a different path to get there. Because for the most part, I mean, look at Jake Fromm in his freshman year. I know people say, well, you know, Fromm had a little bit of regression here his junior year. But, you know, special as a freshman can win you the SEC. That's what happened for Georgia in 2017. It can go head-to-head with a guy like Baker Mayfield in a Rose Bowl and find a way, along with the complement of great pieces in the running game and everything else, to win that game. You know, Bo Nix as a special quarterback, the way that Gus Malzahn would sell him as, the way that Sportsline would at least suggest, is a possibility with their way too early look at the 2020 Heisman. I'm not quite sure I'm buying that as of yet, but that's one of the things that makes the offseason conversation fun. And we'll make that cruising around the SEC, courtesy of Royal Caribbean. And I want to talk about Jermaine Burton here coming up in a moment. Before that, I do want to tell you about my friends at Kroger. You know, it's a ho-ho-ho lot of savings going on right now with 12 days of Mary at Kroger. Now, if you want to opt in to start saving, here's the thing that you need to do. Text the word 12 Mary. That's 12 Mary like Merry Christmas, M-E-R-R-Y, 12 Mary to 99894, 99894. And you can start saving today. So it was reported over the weekend that Jermaine Burton, who's been at Georgia a couple times now, he was also back on campus again this weekend. In fact, let me show you the reporter give full credit here, making that being known on Twitter that Burton makes his appearance in Athens once again. Do we have that we can show folks? Yeah, Billy Embody reporting that Jermaine Burton on official visit to Georgia. And obviously he's going to sign during the early signing period. A current LSU pledge, a guy that Jeff Sintel has told us now for quite some time, that Georgia's getting back involved with and at one point in time had a good relationship with. And obviously Burton somewhat surprised some folks when he chose LSU. There's been a lot of that this recruiting cycle, but Georgia trying to use that weekend, this past weekend, as a chance to solidify its relationship with Burton and hopefully try to get that win. The biggest and sort of names from a ranking standpoint that Georgia could sign here in this early signing period won't necessarily be the wide receivers. Georgia will sign higher rated players at some other positions. But in terms of the overall judgment of how excited Georgia fans are going to be by what goes on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, a name like Burton's going to go a long way towards determining that. A name like Arian Smith, who is going to be signing on Wednesday, going to be, you know, making that known, announcing that, I believe, via ESPN. You know, those are going to be a lot of those really strongly indicative announcements and names that kind of determine, you know, just how happy Georgia fans are about that 2020 class. The Burton name, the Smith name, those wide receivers, that's going to be a big part of it. I can't wait to read all of it at dognation.com. Can't wait to follow with the forum there as well at forum.dognation.com. Y'all, this is going to be an incredibly fun week. So I had a chance to watch the Georgia basketball game on Saturday. I almost wish that I hadn't. And, you know, I am excited about the team. I'm excited about the season. I do think Anthony Edwards is a tremendously fun player to watch. But they got to find a way to kind of take some of the entertaining basketball they play, and they are a more entertaining team than the Mark Fox era was. I continue to believe that. But they got to find a way to kind of capitalize on that more to the tune of wins. You know, I'm not quite so sure how successful of a early non-conference run it's been for Georgia. They are obviously blown out at Arizona State on Saturday. You know, the high water mark was the kind of near comeback against Michigan State when, you know, the Spartans didn't have a ton to play for there. Kind of an ugly day for the Dogs on Saturday. Need some work to be done there, but we'll follow that. And I'll also remind you, 1,143 days. That is our Gatorator Updater. Thanks for being here, Dog Nation Daily, presented by Pella Window and Door.